You're listening to the 12 Days of Christmas. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
It is a joy to have some time to talk about the hymns and the music of Christmas that we are enjoying during these 12 Days of Christmas. And spending some time with Phil Magnus, Director of Sanctuary Worship, Concordia Lutheran Church, Kirkwood, Missouri, in studio today to talk about some great hymns in Lutheran service book. Phil, thanks so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure to be here.
We are looking at Lutheran Service Book number 388, Go Tell It on the Mountain, 389, Let All Together Praise Our God, and 390, Let Us With Gladsome Voice. So let's dig in. Let's jump right into 388, Go Tell It on the Mountain. Tell us a little bit about the history of this hymn.
This hymn is from the Negro spiritual, African-American spiritual tradition, and it has nebulous origin as to where it was, you know, first sung and mm-hmm. who had the ideas. And there are also different sets of lyrics to it that one can research that comes to us in its present form via a young man whose father was director of the Fisk Singers. They were the singers from historically black college Fisk University and Seminary in Nashville, Tennessee, opened up right after the Civil War. And as sort of a fundraising idea and to promote the college, they sent a choir on tour. And at first it was just two quartets, but they gained in popularity and became a larger and larger quartet. But at first they didn't sing their spirituals that they had sung because it reminded them of their slave days. They were newly emancipated and they were like looking to sing different music. And they also were learning some classical music. But they had a benefactor. He was a white man who was the treasurer of the university. And he heard them singing their spirituals and he prevailed upon them that they should sing their spirituals as part of their concerts. And the spirituals became very popular. The choir grew in number and fame and began to sing all over America. And they then published a couple of collections. This was not in the first collection, but it was in the second collection. The form that we have it is actually was put down by the choir director's son, who went on to direct the choir himself in his older age. But what he did was he became a Latin and Greek scholar, and he taught Latin and Greek at Harvard and then reconnected with his father's choir and the university and then took it over later and did the second edition of songbooks, which codified Go Tell It on the Mountain, which by then had become especially meaningful because there was this tradition at Fisk College where the choir members living in dormitory who are on campus. I guess now they must be living in the area or go elsewhere with their families for Christmas, but there is a longstanding tradition back then of they would walk through the campus and go tell it on the mountain on Christmas morning.
That is really cool. Is there anything that we should know about the text or pay attention to in the text when we're singing this?
Well, this is an interesting set that that I have. It just happens to be numbered together in the bulletin, in the hymnal, 388, 389, 390. But they all draw on the idea of the angels proclaiming the good news of Christ's birth, you know, and then the people, you know, taking that, go tell it. The text on this is a little less scripturally drenched as the Lutheran chorales that we're going to look at, but it is definitely in that spirit of the Gloria. You know, we begin mm-hmm. we began the church service often with that canticle, the glory to God in the highest and peace with people on earth. One thing about the text that has a little bit of historical interest is that during the Civil Rights era, they had some different words. And instead of singing, that Jesus Christ is born, they would sing, to let my people go. And so there is a connection. And even though that's a later version, that draws, you know, much on the Exodus history of God's people in bondage. And you can still kind of think about that with Jesus Christ is born, because what is he born to do but set us free from sin, death, and hell. And so God's people, you know, are liberated with the incarnation of Jesus Christ, who's come to set us free from our sin.
Let's take a look at 389, Let All Together Praise Our God. Tell us a little bit about the history of this one.
Sure. This was written by a Lutheran cantor.
Hey.
Had that
no
title,
way.
Yeah. And like John Work, who set Go Tell It on a Mountain, the version that we have it today, Cantor Hermann was also a Latin teacher. So something in common, whether you're teaching at Harvard and doing music or teaching in Germany and doing music 350 years earlier. He wrote this, however, with his vocatious cantor. He wrote it for the children. Hmm. He had 101 gospel texts for the Sundays and feast and festivals of the church year. Hmm. And he wrote hymns for the kinder under his tutelage. So this is a bit of kind of a German predecessor of Cecil Frances Alexander writing Once in Royal David City for her mm-hmm. children. I think this is why there's repetition on each stanza of the last verse. So when you're singing it, the first verse ends with, to give us his own son, to give us his own son. The second verse, in a humble stall, etc. So that's a little bit about the occasion of why it was written. His pastor was a close confidant of Luther. So some of you who know your Lutheran history might have heard of Johann Matthias. And this was an astonishingly rich era for hymnody. You can really see how drenched this text and this poetry is in hymn references. 2 Corinthians 8:9 comes to mind. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. This hymn really extols the great exchange. On a personal level, I remember singing this at Gloria Day in Nassau Bay, or now Gloria Day Houston, when I was in junior high. I was not raised in the Lutheran church, though I had been baptized. And friends in the neighborhood had invited me to go to church, and so I started attending services there. And I remember singing this the Sunday after Christmas in eighth grade, and it was a moment where I really got the gospel. And so whenever I sing this hymn, it's really the fifth stanza is just really important to me, the fourth and fifth stanzas. It was just a real moment for me that I remember. He is a servant, I a Lord, how great a mystery, how strong the tender Christ child's love, no truer friend than he. And so that's always been a especially meaningful hymn wow. to me. Philippians 2 also would be referred into this. Having this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born of the likeness of men.
Hmm. I think the text and the tune were both written by
yes.
Nicholas Hermann.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that, I don't know, is that something of note that were these meant to be together?
That doesn't happen a lot, but it does happen more with the German chorales, which is why many of the German chorale tunes have the German first line of the hymn mm-hmm. being it. And while sometimes we do try to sing some different words, they're not like a lot of the English hymns written to be metrical psalms where they just kind of lend themselves to be sung to 4, 5, or 6 different texts.
Like I know old 100th.
Right. Well, I'm like, we try to sing Rise to Arms with Prayer Employ You, but I can't help but think Wake Awake for Night is Flying
right.
whenever I sing that. You
yeah.
know, Wacket Auf is Wacket Auf. You know, uh-huh. Wake up, Wacket Auf, you know, wake up. And this one is very much, tied to that. I would also say, really, Go Tell It on the Mountain would be the same thing. Can you mm-hmm. imagine singing different words to Go Tell It on the Mountain?
That would be strange.
Yeah,
that would be quite bizarre.
Mm-hmm. Hymn number 390, Let Us With Gladsome Voice.
You're moving me on. All right. so much. So, can I say one more thing about 389,
sure.
Andy? You also have, the sixth stanza, he is the key and he the door to blessed paradise. And I mentioned earlier how all three of these hymns have the spirit of the Gloria about them. You know, the angels proclaiming, and then we have this gladsome voice, and then we all join in the angel song of proclaiming the incarnation of our Lord. I'm reminded of the thief on the cross. You know, Jesus says, you know, today you will be with me in paradise. And we get heaven opening up to earth in the divine service. And heaven, of course, opens up, you know, with the incarnation. And so it's just a wonderful thought also to have when you sing this hymns. And I think the first stanza that the cantor Hermann wrote, today he opens heaven again to give us his own son.
Wow. So you mentioned, look, you mentioned gladsome voice while you were talking about let all together praise our God.
Nice segue, tell
us,
huh?
Yeah, let us with gladsome voice.
Let us all with gladsome voice is another one that pretty much has one tune, one text that goes together, though there is some unclarity as to the origins of this hymn. It is generally ascribed to another cantor named Urban Langhans, who apparently wrote few, if any, other hymns. And so he was a guy that was inspired to write a Christmas song, and it gained in popularity organically and percolated up. So whereas sometimes in the church you have someone who writes a hymn and he writes a melody, or they put a hymn and a melody together, and hymnal editors decide this is a good thing for the church to sing. You wind up this with Luther and Walther in the beginning. They're borrowing from the tradition. They take some things like, you know, like Savior of the Nations Come, which had some currency, but additional stanzas are written, or they write something entirely new, and you get a hymn like Salvation Unto Us Has Come, and it's published, and then you have this effort to introduce it to the faithful, and then over time they embrace it. But you also have in the church, you have popular music that percolates up. And while Go Tell It on the Mountain and Let Us All with Gladsome Voice seem like very different songs because they are from different eras and different melodies, they are of that latter category where people were singing something and it became so popular that it began to be included in hymnals. Now, this hymn largely has run its course. This is probably not one that is going to be sung in most listeners' parishes this Christmas because there's so many favorites. And I'll tell you, as a cantor, one of the things that took me a while to get used to in my vocation is you pick all these great Christmas carols to sing, and then people come up to you and they grumble about how their favorite Christmas carol wasn't sung. And then you tell them, well, come the first Sunday after Christmas, we're singing some more carols then, and then they might mention, oh, well, I'm traveling then. You need to sing at Christmas Eve. But then, of course, at the same time, we got to make sure that Christmas Eve service isn't too long because we have all the creasters coming in and we can't keep them in church too long, et cetera. So you have all these, you know, tensions. Oh, yes. Thanks, Andy, smiling that he'll edit out.
Well, at our church, we have our pastor likes to get in as many of the Christmases as he can in the Christmas season. So he's at, I think he said, like 92% of the Christmas hymns we are singing this season.
We are maxing it out this year, too. Yeah. I mean, we're running awesome. The full 12 days of Christmas, actually 14 days of Christmas, but we're running the full 12 days of Christmas here at KFUO. So we're making it well worth your time.
So I don't know if this is one of the 92% that we're going to get to sing at my church, but I kind of hope so, because it's not one that I'm really familiar with, but I'm sure the text is great.
Well, here's a little personal story. When I was at Trinity Peoria, there were friends who were from Germany, and the mother was the first generation immigrant. She was a seasoned citizen at that time, and her daughter told me how she was one that was saying, well, why aren't we singing the old Christmas songs? And I'm thinking here, it's like, I chose Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Oh Come All You Faithful. So I did what a good cantor should do, is I called her on the telephone and I talked to her. And Hilda told me how she really appreciated my ministry. She was very nice, you know, so, conflict is, you know, almost always resolved in person, right? And really what turned out to be not that much of a conflict. It's just the daughter wanted her mom to be happy. So anyway, so she loved the fact that I called her on the phone and talked, and she complimented me in the ministry. But then she said, but one thing I missed that we haven't been singing in our church. And so it predated my arrival there. She mentioned this hymn, Let Us All With Gladsome Voice. So I resolved to work it in. And so what I started doing at Trinity was the first Sunday after Christmas, we would sing this in place of the Nuncta Minis. It became this post-communion song. And so that's what we did. And she loved the fact that we sang this. And it really works well the first Sunday after Christmas because, like O Rejoice Ye Christians Loudly, it has a benediction for the new year. The last stanza says, Grant us now a glad new year. Amen. Jesus, hear us. Mm-hmm.
So this is one of those pieces that, yes, you can sing at the Christmas services, you know, during Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, Christmas Dawn, I think is one of the services. Or in those remaining days all the way up to Epiphany as well. I like that idea as a as part of the service.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, we are all out of time. But we have so many more hymns to talk about.
I know, so many.
Phil Magnus, Director of Sanctuary Worship, Concordia Lutheran Church, Kirkwood, Missouri. Thanks so much, Phil, for digging into these hymns with us and sharing great stories, too.
Thank you for having me by.
You're listening to the 12 Days of Christmas. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.